Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Coaching Call podcast. On this podcast, we'll cover various types of coaching by trainers in sports, martial arts, fitness, and business. We'll discuss each coach's methods to getting the most out of their respective athletes or clients and how they attempt to change the platform in which they coach. Join us on a fun adventure as we discuss unique coaching styles. Coaching is a universal part of how we get others to get something done. Join your host, Rafael, and his guests on this unique journey in coaching.
Hi, I'm Sifu Rafael, and this is the Coaching Call podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. This episode was made possible by listeners like you. Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for joining me on Coaching Call. How are you today?
Good. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Sifu.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm excited. Man, you are definitely a mover and a shaker. I love that about you.
Try to be.
Yeah, but were you a mover and a shaker when you were 5-6 years old? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think so. I was told that I always liked tried to do all kinds of different things. I was always involved in different things. We played all kinds of different sports. Played with every kind of toy you can imagine. Like to build things. Big Lego fan, of course. Love the Legos.
Gotcha.
But anything, yeah, anything. We touched everything.
Nice. Did you ever go to the Lego store, like the big one in Manhattan?
Not yet. I was at the one in San Diego though, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's incredible what people can build, right?
Yeah, it really is.
When we think about it, it's one Lego at a time. And they create this incredible, incredible things. And that's business, isn't it?
Yeah. It's life. It's not just business. It's basically life. One year at a time, one day at a time.
Yeah.
The days are long, but the years are short.
That's it. And when you least expect it, time flies.
I know. It's crazy. I have my oldest son is 3 already, and I can't believe it. I thought he was just born like last week.
Seems that way, right? Listen, I have an 18 and a 21 year old, and it does seem that way as well. So
no, okay, so you know then. Oh, yeah, more totally than me then.
You know, it's funny, the other day I was thinking of my older one used to sleep on my chest, and we used to just like chill out.
That's cool.
Man, I gotta tell you, I miss that.
That's fun. I mean, I try to cherish it as much as I can right now, because a lot of people are like, they say, no, these are the best years ever. And I'm like, all right, I'll cherish them. And I can see why people say that, because they just love everything about you. They love being with you. They love talking to you. They love getting you involved and stuff. It's so awesome. And I just like, I'm excited for what the future holds too, like being able to get beers with them when they're older. But like, I am really enjoying what I have right now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, you can never get that time back.
Exactly.
So definitely. You know, and I love the fact that you learned, or you made it a habit of being there for your family, to not only do what you needed to do for your career, but not to have to spend your whole eternity, if you will, building it, because you found a way, right? You work 3 to 4 days a week, sometimes less, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure you heard me there.
Yeah. You said I work 3 to 4 days a week with a 1 or 2 months off, right?
Yeah.
That's basically life. Yeah.
How did you manage that when most people are working? You know, growing up, my dad used to work 6 days a week, and you wouldn't see, you know, I wouldn't see my dad till the evening. So how did you manage to figure that out?
For me, I set a goal actually 10 years ago before I had just met my wife, and I realized that one of the things I really loved about my own father was that he was always there. So I said, you know, I'm going to go into this entrepreneur thing, go be a real estate agent, and I want to build a business and a career. I can be there for my sons. I know they're not here yet, but at some point when I do have them, I want to be able to be there for them the way my dad was present in my life. I think that was a really cool image. Or a really good experience my dad gave me. So I just wanted to make sure that I was able to give that to my kids at some point. And that's kind of what inspired it. That was the goal. And then obviously 3 years ago, we had my first son, and that was, it was like, hey, cool. Now the dream is real. Like I get to be here because I had learned how to manage my time prior to him. Like I had set the goal before he was even conceived or before he was even a thought. I mean, I think I had just started dating my wife at the time. So like I had the whole plan ahead of time. Like I knew what I want, what kind of father I wanted to be, how present I wanted to be, all of that stuff beforehand. So I kind of pre-planned it a little bit. So I kind of cheated a little.
Well, that's a great way to cheat, you know, Steve, when you think about your childhood and obviously, you know, your dad was there for you, but besides, and a lot of people tell me their mom, their dad, and that's cool. I love that. But outside of the family scope, who would you say as a youngster was a big influence for you?
For me, when you say youngster, you mean like teenager or like 8 years old?
8, 9, 10, 12, whatever.
Okay. So for me, I think the biggest influences outside of my parents, I think was probably my brother. Am I allowed to use him or no?
Of course.
Oh, so my younger brother. So, and probably not for the best reasons. Like he actually taught me how to have really, really thick skin. As he was torturous. I mean, he had a phenomenal ability to turn an entire room on me in 30 seconds. And it could be like he, that's what the younger brothers do. They torture you.
Mm-hmm.
I learned with him that how to basically I learned the most important thing was the ability to that every bit of power he has is power that I give him. And that I can give him as much power as I want or as little power as I want. But the one who's really holding the power is me. Except I didn't know that until after I had gone through a few rounds of this torture. And it was like, you know what? He has as much power as I give him, and I'm giving him way too much. And that goes for like, I took that skills all the way through life. Cause it's like, you know, all the people every one of us all has haters somewhere. Mm. And you can give those people, they have as much power as you give them. Like you ignore them, they have literally no power. If you give them credence, then they'll take over your life and ruin it.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. And you know, it's very interesting that you said it that way, because I always thank the people that hurt me the most, because they also were my coaches, right? They helped me and guided me in maybe how not to be or what not to do, you know, how to treat people, how to be a better person. So I always give them credit, and I'm happy that you did too. And I'm sure your brother, you know, loved you or whatever. You know, there's always that dynamics when we think about siblings, right? It's either a love-hate relationship or there's no relationship at all because it became that bad. How's your relationship now with your brother?
It's good. Yeah. It's his, you know, pretty much standard brother behavior at this point.
There you go. That's good.
Yes.
So you decided to go into real estate. So many choices in the world. Why real estate?
I was in senior year of college. I couldn't do any. I basically went through two internships, and I hated them as account because I was an accounting major, and I hated my internships. Mm-hmm. And I said, I can't do this. And so I only had senior year left. And after senior year, I was just like, or after junior year, I was like, oh, this sucks. I can't, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I only have 1 year left, and there's nothing else to major in. So I basically I said, I got to find some kind of career that doesn't require a lot of prerequisites, and that also allows me to make a lot of money. So that was how real estate started. I was just like, I don't have any discernible skills at this point. So I don't have a degree in anything that can get me a high paycheck out of college. So here it is. So that's when I got into real estate. So, and then I started flipping houses. And once I got past that, I stopped. I really like managing contractors. So that's when I got my real estate license and became an agent, and then went off to the races. I went.
Nice, nice. So flipping houses, right? And there's been a couple of shows on TV where they show people flipping houses and all that stuff. Now, it's not necessarily glamorous, is it?
There's nothing. Everything that you see on TV is all a lie. None of it's anything close to that. Like, it's just like you hear all these cool stories, and the end product is cool. It's nice to see the final product, but it is a ton of blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, real. Like those TV shows obviously put everything into 30 minutes or an hour. Right. These products are like that we finish with are, they're like 6 months out. Some, I mean, these people aren't finishing 6 to a year out unless they're doing like something crazy where they have like an entire community working on this one house, right, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, which is incredibly rare. Mm. So, but those, it's nothing like what you see on HGTV, and it's a lot of contractor babysitting. You got to watch these people like you have to watch a 2-year-old. Like if you don't watch them, they don't show up to work, and then your project sits there for days, weeks at a time. It's like not getting done, and then you know you're losing money. You're paying high interest on these things, and it's just like, yeah, it wasn't there for that. I was like, you know, I was hiring real estate agents to sell the projects after they were finished, and I was like, you know, I could do this job, and I might be able to even do it better than you guys. So let me get my license. that's when I got it.
Nice, nice. And you know, I've actually done both. I've been in real estate, and I've been in the construction business as well. And you're right. It's very difficult to get someone to come in and do the work they claim they can do, unless they continuously produce the quality that you're looking for. Because a lot of people, you know, they'll say, yeah, I can do it. And then meanwhile, they'll start a project and then they'll leave it and go to another project. And then all of a sudden your project is sitting there forever. And you're like, wait, what happened? Because yes. I've walked into fix projects for people who've left them. And I'm like, well, what happened to your previous contractor? They never came back. I'm like, what? Meanwhile, they paid them. Some people make the mistakes of paying in full. Like, what, are you crazy? I know. So, it's a crazy world, right? When we come to accountability and trust.
Yeah, it's a shame that I mean, I'll be honest with you, as a good contractor who does what you say you're going to do, I mean, I would imagine it's incredibly easy to make a ton of money as a contractor, because these people, if you just show up and do what you say you're going to do, you're already 99% better than everybody else.
That's right. And you show up on time. That's the other thing, right?
Oh, yeah. And you get it done on time.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go. That's the key right there.
Yeah. I own a wood shop currently, and that's one of my projects. So I built like high-end custom furniture and stuff like that. But for me, it's the quality, right? So when somebody wants something, I got to make sure that this is exactly what they want, and that their vision is exactly how I'm going to portray it, because it's not my vision, right? It's not how I want it, even though I may like it a certain way, but it's their vision that I have to put forth. And you know, you probably have dealt with so many contractors where you tell them, hey, I need it like this. And then you come back and it's like, wait a minute, what happened here, right?
Yes. What is this? This doesn't look anything like what I told you.
Yeah, and one of the things, obviously, you know, reading blueprints and all that kind of stuff is so important for a contractor or somebody who's flipping houses, just to be able to understand what is going on, right? Because sometimes you probably worked with architects as well and engineers.
Yes.
I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest challenge that you found flipping homes besides the contractors?
I think that was the biggest problem for me. Outside of that, I think it was just waiting for delays, the delays of the city, because you know we're in the city of Philadelphia. It's a huge city with a lot of projects going on. So the speed of at which the local government operates is not very quick. And right. Philly is notoriously slow for that. It's no secret to any business owner who is involved in real estate for it to operate so slow. So like that was another thing. So like if a contractor was waiting on a permit, that permit was going to take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And that, and for you, like progress is made, and you just have to pay another, you know, 8 to 12% interest again and nothing was done, which sucks.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people Me personally, when I built out my martial arts school, I filed everything with everybody and I kept going and going and going. And they're like, yeah, we're getting to it. We're getting to it. We're getting to it. I said, all right, you know what? I'm covering my windows. I'm just going to build it out. I built it out. And I said, okay, when is this happening? It took 2 years for them to approve the plans. I'm like, really? You approved the plans? I said, great. When can you come look for it? Well, you're going to build it out. I said, yeah, that was 2 years ago. When are you coming to take a look? They're like, they were like stumbling. And I said, okay, just give me a date. I'll pay whatever fees you guys need. And then when the inspector came, he goes, my God, you did amazing work here. He goes, I want to apologize for everything that happened because we should have been here 2 weeks after you filed. Because you already said this is what's going to happen. You gave us a detailed plan of when every piece of everything was going to happen and we didn't follow up. And it took us 2 years. And then you kept following up. We didn't. So he goes, you want anything? You ever need anything? Here's my personal card, my cell number. Just make sure, you know, you call for me. And so after that, you know, the guy knew that I was on the up and up because I gave detailed, you know, phases of the project of everything was going to happen at this time. This is how it's going to be. And when he came, he did inspection. He goes, my God, you did exceptional work. So, you know, this is why he apologized. And that's he awesome. Wasn't just an inspector. He was the inspector. He was all the inspectors that, you know, they answered to him. So he was like the main guy. So he That's apologized. Awesome. I was like, yeah, thank you. I said, I will always call on you first. Yes. And, you know, ever since then, anytime I've had anything, I call on him and he's like, yeah, you got it. So sometimes it's just, you have to move forward. But I also knew that moving forward, I may be penalized, right? And I took the chances, but I made sure that the work was, you know, really spectacular and it was super clean and every contractor that came through, whether it was the electrician or the plumber, did everything to code because, you know, for me that was everything, right? Otherwise I would be in trouble.
Oh yeah, of course.
So that was one of my biggest problems that I've had in the past, and you know, I figured how to deal with it, but it doesn't always go that smoothly, does it?
No, of course not. On paper it sounds fantastic.
So you decided to go into the real estate, but you only did it for your own projects, or did you start developing as a real estate agent on your own?
Oh, I never did any development as an agent. Once I left the investor world, I never went back. I just did, I helped sell other people's projects, but I never did any of my own after that. I was just doing my own projects and then I stopped that and went full-time real estate agent and just focused on building a database and nourishing that database. That was where it all went from there.
Mm, very cool. Very cool. So now you've even taken it a step further, right? You're helping people understand the business, right? And what business are you helping them? Because you talk about relationships and how important that is in business. So how are you helping other people develop?
Yeah, for sure. So my whole thing is so the concept of gratitude, a lot of people, I think like 10% or less businesses actually implement it. Mm. However, the return on investment from gratitude, I think on a personal level, not me personally, but I'm saying on a personal level, people who experience gratitude or express gratitude or practice it, they're on average like 20, I forget which university, I think it was California Davis, I think. Or somebody, they did a research that determined that people who express and practice gratitude regularly are 25% happier. So like, to me, the mind-boggling stat here is if you're 25% happier doing this one thing, why are only 10% of us exercising this one thing? Like, it's like, everybody's like, if you ask anybody that they're, well, I just want to be more happy. I want to be happy. Well, okay. Express gratitude and you'll be 25% happier. And you know, so many people don't do it because it's a little bit more effort than what people are used to putting out there.
Mm. Yeah. So. You know, one of the things that I'm always grateful for is my clients, my customers. And what winds up happening is I used to accept everybody as a client, but I said, you know, not everybody's going to make me happy. So what do I have to do? Only pick the ones that are going to make me happy, and I'm going to make them happy. So yes. I no longer accept everybody as a client. And now I call them family, and so they can reach out to me anytime, and they know it, and they know that I care for them. And they'll always come to me and they'll say, hey, you know, I have a situation. Can you help me with this? I'm like, of course. And then vice versa, they turn around and go, whatever you need, I'm here for you. But if we start treating people with that gratitude, man, they're only going to return it back 1,000-fold, right?
Yes, that's exactly it. It's compounding interest. And a mentor of mine by the name of John Rulin, he calls it ROR instead of ROI, mm-hmm. return on relationship, which I think is awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, so like the more you invest in other people, it comes back. And like my definition of gratitude is the intentional unbalancing of a scale in the direction of another person. So you push the scale towards them and you give them as much as you possibly can. And then what happens is they will overcorrect and bring it back to you. And then what will happen is other people will notice your grateful behavior, your appreciative behavior, and they'll start to tip scales towards you as well. So it's a compounding thing that can only help you. And one, it's going to make you feel better, but it's the receiver is going to like it better too. Everybody benefits from it. It's like the best win-win you can create.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So everybody benefits, right? I think that should be the tagline, right?
Yeah, there you go. Everybody benefits.
Everybody wins. Everybody's a winner in that relationship, but it's building the relationship, right? That's probably the most important aspect of business is relationships, right?
Yes, for sure. 1,000%.
So what made you decide, you know, as you're doing well, how much did you make in like a short time, like $100 million in transactions?
Over the course of my career, I've probably sold around $100 million in real estate. That's somewhere around there. I don't know the exact number, but it's been a fun ride. And I think for me, it's more of it's having that drive, having that goal that we talked about at the beginning, which was being there for my kids. So now that they're here, it's like, I want to continue to be there for them and be present and be able to enjoy it. Like, for example, like I was able, because I was able to manage my time properly, I was able to be there for my son's first steps. I have my son's first steps on camera because I was with him when he started walking. And I was like, oh my God, holy crap. I got to pull out the phone and record this. Like, this is big time. So like, you know, a lot of people get to do that, you know, mom or dad, a lot of people get to be present when they're for the actual steps. So, you know, maybe like the daycare tells them about it or the babysitter tells them about it. It's just like, but you know, I was so fortunate to be able to be the guy sitting there when he started walking. It was like, oh crap, like this is so cool. That's basically what drives you. And it's like moments like that, then, you know, you're rewarded with moments like that. And you start to see like, okay, this is why I do this. This is, I need to do more of this so that I can keep getting more of these kind of rewards.
Yeah, that is a beautiful thing. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for way over 30 years, and I was there for my kids, and it was amazing, you know.
That's awesome.
Just not only, you know, helping feed them and all these things, but just being there, playing with them, and having that quality time that had I been working for somebody, a 9-to-5 job, I would never have had that opportunity. And I know a lot of moms, you know, they'll work for somebody and, you know, maybe they'll get 6 weeks off, but after that they have to go back to work. And what are they missing? They're missing those important parts. And, you know, and listen, a lot of women have decided that they want to have their career first and then the kids will come later. And that's all nice and dandy, but all of a sudden they're in the middle of their career and then that maternal instinct kicks in and they're like, I'm ready for a child. Cool, they have the child. But then because they're invested in that career, they go back.
Yeah, it's hard to step away from.
Yeah, and then they miss it. But I know a lot of women also who have had the career, stepped away, but they decided to step away for 3 to 5 years. And then when their kids start kindergarten, they'll go part-time back to that career, or they'll do a side hustle, if you will. Because that is, when we think about that development of a child, it's being there for the guidance that they need from us as parents, right? I don't want my au pair telling me, oh yeah, your child took their first steps, right? Right, or babysitter or wherever. Yeah. I think it does make a difference.
Yeah, that's a phone call I would never hope to get. It's like, oh, I missed it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So
that's what we do.
Yeah. So, but you could have stayed doing real estate and be happy. Why? Why did you decide to help small businesses?
For me, I think it was just kind of more the calling card for me. I think I have more fun with it. I mean, for now, I get to be basically Santa Claus 12 months a year versus like, you know, with real estate. Like, it's not as much paperwork pushing, and it's more of an active be involved more. Like, because one of the things that I really, really had more fun with rather than the actual home selling itself was the mentorship of the other agents that came onto the team or came into the office. It was like, how can I be as good as what you're doing, Steve? How do I get as many referrals as you're doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I really, really enjoyed that time, like teaching them some of the things I was doing. And I had such a blast with that, that I was like, man, I wish I could do this. I wish I could get paid to do this. Cause like, you know, obviously I wasn't a real estate coach. I wasn't getting paid to do it. I was just helping out other people in the office at the time.
Right.
So now I'm not like actually like a coach or anything, but I guess you'd say I'm like a consultant, and then I kind of help execute those plans. But like outside of that, I mean, that's what it was, where the passion was. That was for me, that was where I had, which made me switch, because the passion being coaching other agents and helping other small, and it wasn't just, it turns out it's not just real estate that needs some help with the client appreciation department. So that's why I got Appreciation Advocate does all of the businesses that do service based type of stuff. Because it turns out everybody's missing that.
Yes, that is for sure. You know, and there are so many, you know, client based service businesses, right? Mm-hmm. When you think about even just in sports alone, right? You have baseball, you have soccer, you have, and I'm not talking about like the little league that you get volunteers. I'm talking about the professional ones where people go to a facility and they pay money to have their children be a better soccer player or a better baseball player or a better hockey player. So they're hiring these coaches at a premium, right? So that's a service-based business. And then you have dance schools, martial arts schools, music schools, right? There's so many different types of service-based business where it's that human touch, if you will, right? Whether you're doing even, you know, there's a lot of businesses now that are doing like prep work, like prep schooling, right? Like for SATs, you know, just getting better grades. And in the past, they used to be like a teacher would come to somebody's home. But now people said, wait a minute, what if we hire the teachers and have the kids come here? And then we can have one teacher service 5, 6, 7 kids, and we can have one subject here. It's almost like they're creating a little school. So I thought that was pretty cool. But you're right. There's so many different service-based business where is that human touch is required, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing is that you say that human touch is required. Like that's the funny thing about real estate. Like a lot of tech companies today are trying to replace the real estate agent. It's just like simply not going to happen. You don't go online and click add to shopping cart for houses. Like it's not one of those things. It's not one of those things. So it's a human touch is much more significant than a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah. Well, you can't, you know, just the same thing. Like, you know, listen, the Tesla is trying to get people to buy, and people do buy the cars online because they hear all about it. But I would still, before I buy a Tesla, I still would want to take a test drive, right? Even and because you know what, a house may look amazing on Zillow or anything like that, but what if you go into the house and it has musty smells, right? Mm-hmm. Or it has mildew, it has mold, it has all these things. The structure is not necessarily sound. So walking into a place, getting that feeling, right? That experience, even if the house is empty, you know it's your house the minute you walk in it, right?
I know. I know exactly the feeling you're talking about, because like when I always knew a buyer was going to buy a house within the first 6, 7, 8 seconds we were in the house, just by the way they walked in. I knew right away. I'm like, this is it. And you start to see it. It's like, oh, this is it. This is the one. Yeah. And you knew right away within under 10 seconds, I knew. And then and you knew the opposite as well. It was like, oh, this ain't going to be it.
Yes. You know, have you ever gone, and I'm not trying to plug them, but it's just hysterical. My girlfriend will say, hey, check this out. And it's a website. It's called Zillow Gone Wild. And I think they have it on Facebook. And it's like some of the most, you got anybody listening, you got to check it out. Zillow Gone Wild. And it's like the craziest things that people have done with their homes. And some of them are like really cool looking. And some of them are you like, what? Somebody threw up in this house. And it's just nuts.
Is this an Instagram account or what? Just a website or?
I think check it out on Facebook maybe. Okay. I don't know. But
I'm sure I can Google it. I'm sure it'll come.
Yeah, Google it. Zillow Gone Wild. It's just nuts. And you know, like they'll have like some of them are super creepy. Right. So it's kind of, and she shows, and we're both there, like, we're like, oh my God, what were these people thinking? And, you know, it's just, I mean, somebody, they had a Chiefs house, somebody, you know, the football team, the Chiefs, everything in the house was Chiefs, everything. And it was like, oh my God. And it was like, you can't sell this house unless you're a super duper Chiefs fan.
Correct. You know what? I should have submit one of my old listings. That there was this one house where they painted everything in the house black. The whole house was black. The walls, the ceiling, the floor, everything was black. I was just like,
was it the Addams Family? I'm just kidding.
It might as well have been. So like they bought it and then they turned this beautiful house into a completely black house. And I was just like, there is no light left in this room, in this house. Like you have all these windows, but the natural light can't be seen because the black just absorbs it.
Wow.
So yeah. So it was a bad move aesthetically.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that paint, you can always repaint, but some of the structures that people change, you know, they build these almost like mausoleums, if you will, inside their homes, pools that shouldn't be. And it's very interesting. So when we think about the business and the concepts of what each individual can bring, right? Because even in business, if you build your home the same way you built your business, is it functional?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So do you live the same way you work? Do you treat people at home? Yeah. You treat people at home the same way you treat your employees.
I think that's for me. That's where you got to start. Actually, you have to start it. It's easier to bring it from home to the workplace rather than the other way around. So if you're a jerk at home, you're going to be a jerk at the workplace. So I think that's where it starts. I think then rather than where it ends. So that's my take on it. Like for me, like teaching my sons how to say please and thank you is probably the most important thing we're teaching them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I of course he's a toddler, so he's always asking, can I have this, can I have that, can I have this, can I have that? And like, and you know, when I first started teaching, I'm like, all right, we got to say please, you got to say please, and then you got to say thank you. But like as he's gotten older and he's gotten better with it now, I don't tell him what he has to say. I said, I started asking him like, what do you say? And he's just like, oh, please daddy thank you. And now he's actually 2.5 years old, he's already saying it by him, so I don't even have to tell him anymore. He just, it's been blasted into him since the day he could understand what we were saying. Right. And now it's like
daddy and mommy, right?
after daddy and mommy, it's just like, you know, I give him something and he'll say please. And then after I give it to him, he go, thank you, daddy. And be like, cool. I didn't even have to tell you that time. Like, it's just like cool to see a 2-year-old doing that already.
That is very cool. That's very cool. You know, and when we can start teaching the next generation that gratitude, that fulfillment within oneself, that's huge. Because what are we dealing with nowadays, right? We're dealing with people who they expect you to do things for them without any gratitude. They expect it, right? And why do they expect it? It's because of the upbringing. It's because no one taught them the right way. Like you're teaching your children, which is beautiful. And the same way I taught my children, but I also teach other people's children. So that's one of the things when in my martial arts school, they have to have an attendance card. They get their attendance card. They don't know what's on it. They're 3 years, 4 years old, but they take the attendance card, and in order for them to start class, they have to get it from my front desk, and they have to say, hi, how are you? And then they have to say, can I please have my card? And then they have to say, thank you. And then they go inside and they do whatever. And then when I hit drums, I had a big Chinese drum before we start class. And then the kids all line up. And then I go and I collect the cards from them and I give them a fist bump and I say, thank you. And they always say, you're welcome. Right. And then we do two other things, three things. Right. So we do a bow, but we do three bows. And the reason for it is the first one is a promise. So the promise is saying, I promise to be a black belt. So I'm a future black belt. So I tell them, this is your promise. This is a goal. And then the next one, I said, these are the three words that you can live your whole life by. And the first one is honor. I'm sorry. Respect. Right. Respect. And then the second one is courtesy. And the last one is honor. And then the final thing they say, and they have to actually look at their parents. And I say, I talk to the kids privately and I say, who brought you today? And they're like, mom, grandma, auntie, uncle, whoever. I say, okay, so you're going to look at them in the eyes and you're going to just bow and say, thank you. And a lot of times when I've had parents come in for the first time and their own kids are saying thank you to them, they're like, wow, my kid doesn't say thank you. I'm like, well, they will now because you brought them to the place that we're going to empower them to be better humans, right? To be better citizens, if you will.
Yes, that's awesome.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's where it all starts. And it starts when it's a nice extension of the household, basically. So like,
correct.
There are a lot of kids who grow up without a proper household or who don't have a parent to give them that kind of mentorship. So when you're doing it in your classes, that's a really one, you're either acting as a reinforcement of what's going on at home, which is great, or you're instilling skills that were not there originally. And it's teaching them something that they didn't learn at home. So, and I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched like on NFL, they do like a special biography of one player and he'll talk about like how they came from a broken household or something. And they had somebody like, I know like AJ Green had who's a wide receiver for the Bengals. He didn't have any kind of mentorship like that, but he really looked up to a local firefighter who was like a father to him. And, you know, you have that kind of role that you're playing, you know, as a teacher yourself. So I think that's really cool. You can be a role model or a reinforcer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of kids who are playing sports nowadays. They don't teach them those character development traits. Places, if you go to baseball, they're not going to teach you that. If you go to soccer, basketball, anything, they're not teaching those concepts, those values. They are starting to a little bit, you know, at the end of every game, they usually go and they shake hands, which is a start. I think that's a good thing. You know, letting them know, even in defeat, you have to be civil to one another, right? Even if you're a little guy and you're mad that you lost, or even if you're 17 years old and you just lost your championship to a different team, you don't walk off all mad. You walk off grateful that you had the opportunity to actually even play that game. And people don't realize that losing is not the end. Losing means that you had the opportunity to try and win, but you made it that far, right? And a lot of people don't recognize that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's that. And then there's also, you know, a failure is just part of the process of success. It's not the opposite of it. So a lot of people mix that up as well. Yeah. So I think that's a cool teaching point that I think a lot of young kids could, you know, learn to take that in. It's like, hey, yeah, you lost today. That doesn't mean tomorrow won't be better.
Yeah, exactly. What is your game plan moving forward? I know a lot of parents, they have an idea of what they would like their children to be. What do you want for your children?
I just want them to be able to be able to utilize their gifts in the best way that they were designed to do. So I know we all have different gifts. And you know, I don't want my son to be an extension of me or just a replica of me if he doesn't have the desire to be in real estate, or if he doesn't have the desire to be an entrepreneur, if he doesn't have any of those things. I don't want him to do those things. Like, if he has the desire to you know, ride dirt bikes or something, I don't know, whatever, like go out and be the best in the world at it. Like, I don't care what it is that that he wants to do. Obviously, as long as it's legal and ethical and productive, that's of course that's my job to steer, to keep him on that path. And then I just have to find something he likes. He could be, maybe he'll be an architect, maybe he'll be some kind of accountant, maybe he'll do real estate like I did, and or maybe he'll take over the family business with appreciation advocate. Like, I don't know. But my whole thing is I just want him to be able to be doing something that he's able to maximize his purpose and his gifts in whatever he is doing, or either both of them, actually, both sons. My thing is just let me get behind them and support them in whatever it is they want to pursue. And as long as it's legal and ethical and productive, then I think that's what I want for them. And I frankly don't care what it is. It could be literally any. I don't care if they like puppeteers. I don't care what it is.
Right. You'll be proud of them anyway, because you guided them and you gave them all the tools necessary for them to make their own choices. And I love that. You know, I think if more people thought that way, I think we would have a much better understanding of where our world is going, right? Because we need to support one another, right?
Yeah, I don't understand the and again, I am a newer parent. I'm, you know, I have a 3-year-old son and an 8-month-old son, so like I'm not like Captain Experience over here. I do struggle with watching some parents like, you know, force their kids to live their life a certain way, and like, hey, you have to be a this. And you're this, so you have to become this. You have to do it this way. And it's just like, you know, that's, you know, would you, Mr. or Mrs. Parent, would you want someone telling you to do that? Like, I feel like you put a lot of unneeded and unwanted pressure on your kid to do that. And I know a lot of adults today that carries with them into their adulthood, and they have like tremendous anxiety over what they're doing in their careers because they're constantly trying to, you know, approve of mom and get mom and dad's approval. And it's just like, then sometimes it's almost torture because some mom and dad are not going to get that approval from them no matter what you do. They're just going to be there, and they're always just going to raise the bar on you. Mm. At that point, you're giving control up of your life to someone else.
Oh yeah. I've had friends and even clients who went through schooling. I mean, tough schooling, and I know friends of mine who are lawyers, but they've never practiced law because they hated it. They did it because that's their family pushed them in that direction. And they finally woke up and said, you know what? This is my parents' dream, not mine. Let me go pursue what I want to do. Let me be successful at what I want. Because you can be successful as a lawyer who doesn't like being a lawyer, or a doctor who doesn't like being a doctor, but there's no passion in it, right? So sometimes the passion will really speak, and a lot of people will put their own passion down to fulfill the dreams of someone else.
Yeah, and that sucks. I think that whole dynamic sucks. Like to put that kind of pressure on someone else, and make them do what you want. Like, I mean, for me, it was just like, why don't you just go do your own thing and like you let them do them and let you do you. Mm-hmm. Now I'm all for supporting someone who wants to do a certain thing.
Right.
But, you know, don't dictate them. Telling other people how to live kind of sucks.
So Steve, what's one word of advice that, or a couple of words of advice that you would give somebody who either wants to get into real estate or wants to start to facilitate to help other businesses?
Sure. For me, I think you start with gratitude. So there's two quotes that I really like, three actually, but two of them for sure apply to the question that you just asked. So I would say, when your priorities are clear, your decisions are easy. So first get your priorities in order, because a lot of the real estate and anything else is, or any other small business for that matter, has like, I know real estate specifically is an 80% fail rate. So you're out of the business guaranteed in real estate 87% of the time. So there's that. So get your priorities straight and your decisions will be easy. And then after that, there's when you count your blessings, God gives you more than you can count. So God makes them harder to count. So like I'd start again, start from gratitude right from there. And then and then that falls right into the previous quote where, you know, now you know where your priorities are and now the decisions are easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I like that. You know, set your priorities, know who you are as well, right? That's important.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that you are doing what you want to do and the fact that you're going to allow your children to do what they want to do, but you're giving them the tools to have the choice. And I am so, we both are so lucky that we live in a country and we have to always give it up for our military that because of them, because of where we live, we have that freedom to be able to do what we want in a way, up to a point, right?
Sure.
You know, legally, of course. But when we think of the opportunities that are present to each one of us, it's the decisions that we make every single day that allow us to make our decisions better for tomorrow, right?
Yes, 100%.
Great. Listen, I wanna also invite you and everybody listening. We are having a Heroes Rising Apex, and I know that you're a speaker, so we may be sending you a speaker questionnaire to come on our show as well. It's July 13th through the 16th. Everybody listening, come on down. It's going to be in Long Island, New York. The specifics of it are coming up very soon. I'm working it out with my partner, Jose Escobar. And it's going to be an event that's going to be international. We have people coming from all over the world, from Australia, South Africa, Italy, Singapore, all over the United States. So it's going to be an event that everybody wants to be part of, because it's going to be a leadership development type of event where you come and empty your cups before you come, because they're going to be overflowing. They're going to be overflowing when you come. And we'd love to have you there as well, my friend.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. I'll send me the email for that. That sounds great.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Excellent. Thank you so much for taking out the time and spending it with me and sharing your knowledge and your expertise with my audience. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A great pleasure. All right, my friend, have an exceptional day. We'll talk soon.
All right, you too. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.